The Centers for Disease Control and Prevention cite that about 20% of adult Americans smoke cigarettes, with a greater prevalence among men than women. Cigarette smoking still continues to be, quote, the leading cause of preventable death in the United States, accounting for approximately 443,000 deaths, or one of every five deaths in the U.S. each year. A report late last year showed that the smoking rate is declining in the U.S., but that rate of decline has slowed, leading to concerns that the government's goal of bringing smoking rates down to 12% in the population may not materialize. Today, while there is no federal smoking ban, more than half of all states have bans on smoking in public places. But the trend is a relatively new one. In January 1995, the state of California banned smoking in all enclosed workplaces, becoming one of the first states to enact such a law. Over a relatively short period of just a few decades, the act of smoking has become associated with serious health effects in the public mind. Much of that is attributable to the convergence of many powerful forces that broke through the tobacco industry's long-standing claims that smoking is neither addictive nor harmful to health. The story of how scientist whistleblowers, elected officials, members of the media, and lawyers used the American legal system and democratic processes to bring the powerful tobacco industry to its knees is told in a brand new documentary called Addiction Incorporated. The film, being released this Friday in theaters, features the first whistleblower, Victor Denoble, who worked as a research scientist for the largest tobacco company, Philip Morris. It also features, among a cast of dozens of other key players in the battle against tobacco, Representative Henry Waxman, who led the congressional charge against the industry, Walter Bogdanich, a New York Times investigative reporter who broke stories of how the industry conspired against public health, and even Steve Parrish, former general counsel and senior vice president of Philip Morris. Joining me in studio this morning is the director of Addiction Incorporated, Charles Evans Jr. Welcome to Uprising.
Thank you for having me.
And also on the phone with us is Victor Denoble, former research scientist working with Philip Morris, who became the first whistleblower against the tobacco industry. He was also a key witness in the government's case against the industry. Welcome, Victor.
Good morning.
Thanks so much for joining us. Well, first, Charles, let me ask you, Charles, how this story, how you decided that Victor would be the kind of protagonist you could build this story of how the tobacco industry was exposed in your documentary. Today, people take for granted that smoking is harmful to health. But as I mentioned, it's sort of a relatively new change in the public mind.
It actually started the other way around. I saw Victor testify. I became personally acquainted with him and a lot more of the details of his story, and became determined to tell a story of a man determined to do good with science. And the tobacco part of the story came after that.
So you first saw Victor and then realized that he was this major figure in the story.
He's certainly a major figure in the story. He's the first ever tobacco employee to talk publicly about his work at a time, you know, when they were undefeated in litigation against them. And it was a really big deal. But the primary objective for me starting out was how to tell the story of a fellow who does good and could provide an example for others to do some of the same.
Victor Denoble, what was very interesting about the documentary was that, and Charles, I really want to give you credit for this, was that the film really took pains to explain the science that you uncovered of how and why nicotine is actually an addictive substance. And Victor, I'm wondering if you can, since you're a teacher, in layperson's terms, explain for our listeners a little bit of that research that you did in the employment of Philip Morris. They hired you, the biggest tobacco company in the U.S. hired you to research the addictive nature of nicotine, and you worked with rats to do this, right?
That's right. Rat brains and human brains have a lot in common, so you can actually study the effects of drugs on rat brains and fairly well predict what's going to happen in our brain. My goal for going to Philip Morris was to remove nicotine from cigarettes because nicotine causes a cardiovascular risk. And we were going to replace it with a drug that was equally addictive with something that wouldn't cause cardiovascular damage. In looking for that molecule, we had to characterize nicotine in the brain, find out what it did. And it's really quite easy. There's a chemical in your brain called dopamine, and this is a chemical that keeps people very happy. And when we're happy, we make a lot of dopamine. Well, if you use drugs like nicotine, cocaine, methamphetamine, you increase the level of dopamine to levels that we're not supposed to have, quite frankly. And that changes the way the brain wants dopamine. So people who are addicted to drugs, they've actually changed the way their brain works. Their brain says, if you don't have that drug, you are not going to feel good. And that's basically how drug addiction occurs.
And so this research that you wrote a paper about with your collaborator, Paul Mele, was a paper you were going to get published. It was on the verge of being published, and then Philip Morris basically told you to withdraw the paper when they realized that publishing it would essentially increase their liability. And suddenly they became less interested in developing a safer cigarette and more interested in figuring out how to bank on the science that you have discovered to sell more cigarettes. Charles Evans Jr., how did that story then, how do you explain what role that paper that Victor Denoble wrote play in the already sort of churning machine to expose the tobacco industry? Because there were already independent efforts to expose what the tobacco industry was doing by the media.
There had been independent efforts by a lot of journalists for a long time, and no one would speak to them. And all things came together at close to the same time. At the same time that a team at ABC wanted to air a show alleging the manipulation of nicotine in cigarettes, the FDA decided it would begin investigating tobacco. And at that time, they became aware of Victor's suppressed paper, and that was the connection, Victor's connection to all of the proceedings that followed, that made the telling of the story of his lab relevant to a linear narrative.
Mm. And Representative Henry Waxman was instrumental in then bringing all of this information to Congress. I want to play for our listeners an excerpt of the documentary Addiction Incorporated that opens this Friday at the Newhart. During this congressional subcommittee hearing on tobacco, when seven CEOs of all the major tobacco companies in the U.S. gathered to testify, we hear them swear that their products are not addictive.
Most congressional hearings don't have a swearing in. It's very rare, in fact, for witnesses to have to raise their right hand and testify. This was clearly set up to force the CEOs to either tell the truth or to necessarily perjure themselves.
If you raise your right hand, do you swear that the testimony you're about to give is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
I do.
Nicotine addiction is something we now know, at least one tobacco company knew about, and I believe they all knew about it.
The information in Dr. Noble's paper became a cornerstone of the hearing and the questioning.
I'm going to go right down the row and ask each one a simple question. They're under oath. We'll see what their response is. First one.
I believe nicotine is not addictive, yes.
I asked the second one.
Cigarettes and nicotine clearly do not meet the classic definitions of addiction. There is no intoxication.
Right. We'll take that as a no, just yes or no.
I don't believe that nicotine or our products are addictive.
Not addictive.
Not addictive. Not addictive.
Not addictive.
Mr. Horgan, did this group discuss the need to state clearly in the same words as you all did, in the same words, that nicotine is not addictive?
That's absolutely outrageous.
What is outrageous?
That is outrageous for you to assume that we meet and talk about these issues. We are competitors. We're independent. We're fighting for survival in a legitimate marketplace.
It's very difficult for me to find you at this table characterizing anything as outrageous after seven apparently intelligent people have stood here and told the American people, 250 million of which know better, that cigarettes are not addictive. What could be more ridiculous? So if we appear a little skeptical of your answers in other areas, you'll understand why.
Addiction Incorporated, a new documentary about the downfall of the tobacco industry, in particular the expose that their products are addictive. My guests are Charles Evans Jr., director of the documentary, and Victor DeNoble, a former research scientist working with Philip Morris, who became the first whistleblower against the tobacco industry and was a key witness in the government's case against the industry. These seven CEOs that we just heard, who were essentially asked to swear that they would tell the truth, essentially perjured themselves, and your documentary, Charles, shows that all seven of them eventually resigned. Victor DeNoble, how important was it for you as a scientist whose work had been suppressed to come forward and tell your story?
Oh, immensely important. When Paul and I wrote the paper back in 1982 and tried to publish it in 83, we knew this was going to be a groundbreaking finding, and that paper would have led other scientists to do research that would have moved the science faster and moved public policy faster. And that paper was suppressed, and us testifying before Congress, allowing us, and Paul and I, by the way, we insisted on being under oath. We actually requested to be put under oath. We wanted the world to know we tried to publish this work and tried to get the science out so people could do better. Part of this movie is very important to realize they're still the bad guys. They're not the good guys now. Just because the bill has been signed that they may be regulated, it doesn't mean that they're still not making the most deadly product on earth, and it doesn't mean that they've changed the way they do business. They're still doing business as usual, and I think that's really important for people to understand. These people have acquiesced in terms of regulation, but they are using every legal maneuver they can to fight it.
When you said brought to their knees, they're not nearly at their knees. They're simply agreed to be put in handcuffs.
And you know what was amazing in the documentary was how the industry was so powerful and so feared, because they would approach legal challenges with guns blazing, and until they were challenged by lawyers in all 50 states, as your documentary shows, they'd won every major case or they'd refused to settle any cases, and they intimidated the media as well. You mentioned ABC's attempt to do coverage. How did the industry intimidate the media? And now we're at a point today where you can make a documentary about this. We can talk about this on the air and not worry about being sued by the industry.
Mm-hmm. They had a longstanding commitment to throwing a lot of money, as much money as it took, to fight all legal battles. And the result was that they would use every appeal and legal option, at a corporation's disposal to defend these lawsuits, and they would drag them out, until a plaintiff attorney was essentially drained and unable to continue. Mm-hmm. And that's how they maintain their perfect record.
And Charles, I want to ask you how you chose the people that you featured in this documentary. Not only do you feature Congressman Henry Waxman, a lot of the journalists involved, you profile some of the lawyers involved, but what was amazing to me was this man, Steve Parrish, the former general counsel and senior vice president of Philip Morris, agreed to talk with you, and he was so candid.
He was candid, but he only spoke to the facts. Of the things that he saw and experienced, and he went out on a limb by participating at all, and he.
So it's not like he's sort of transformed and realizing that he was involved in a deceptive industry.
No, but I think he wanted to to keep facts straight, and he knew that this was going to be a balanced reportage of events and not a witch hunt and a fair. Story that needed to be represented by both sides, and he wanted to be that face that gave that even-handed approach.
Victor DeNoble, I want to ask you, in your journey from where you were at Philip Morris and then the entire, being a witness in countless testimonies and being at the center of this battle to expose the tobacco industry, How did you approach being approached by members of the government? In the documentary, we learned that you were perhaps very rightly worried about telling the truth to a lot of to members of the government because you had signed confidentiality agreements with Philip Morris. At any point, were you afraid for your own safety?
Well, I wasn't afraid for my safety. I wasn't sure that the government was real in this. I mean, government had never investigated tobacco previously, and all of a sudden they were going to do that. And my major fear was the fact that I did sign a confidentiality agreement, and that if I broke that agreement too soon, that the tobacco industry would be able to legally suppress my testimony. So my fear was that how do I get released? How do I get the information out without violating the secrecy agreement in a way that the tobacco industry could block what I was going to say in court, because they're very effective at doing that.
And you had the you had your confidentiality agreement undermined or undone at a congressional hearing very dramatically in the film, as it's shown. Well, unfortunately, we're out of time. I want to thank you, Victor and Charles, very much for joining us today. Best of luck with the film. Is there a website for the documentary, Charles?
Yes, addictionincorporated.com. There's 30 interviewees, outtakes there. There's a lot of cut scenes from the film. Mm-hmm. Deep, entertaining website.
And we will post that on our website later today. Addiction Incorporated opens at the Newart this Friday, 11272 Santa Monica, just west of the 405 in West LA. Showtimes are at landmarktheaters.com. Thanks so much, Charles Evans Jr., director of Addiction Incorporated, and Victor DeNoble, former research scientist working with Philip Morris, who became the first whistleblower in the case against the tobacco industry. For Sonali, subversive thought for the day, Galileo Galilei once said, "All truths are easy to understand once they're discovered. The point is to discover them."